I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track Open Line. We're celebrating at Lighthouse 24 years in business and just entering our 11th year of doing Open Line programs. We have a few new exciting changes. First, we have our new 2018 Open Line format that comes with the launching of our new website. You can also find archived topics for the past many years on the publication event tab. So any business issue or challenge or opportunity you're facing, we have an article on it. We probably have an Open Line program on it. Also, our three books, Cracking the Personality Code, Cracking the Business Code, and our latest book that just came out, Cracking the High Performance Team Code, is now available either on our site or through Amazon. And earlier this year, we started to offer skills testing, which has been a huge hit with our clients. Our topic today is LinkedIn 4.0. Learn about accelerated connectivity like never before. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services. We'll be hosting our program today. We have a few housekeeping items, and we're going to jump right into this exciting topic. For those of you joining us today for the first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, bringing effective insight to your organization. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to raise the hiring bar. We assist companies with a variety of other services, including interpersonal coaching, team building, stress management workshops, and much more. We have an office in Taipei also, so if you have an operation in Asia and would like to get leadership coaching for them or providing ideas of how to interact with a U.S.-based organization, just let me know. And we also have an affiliate office in Europe, so we are truly a multinational. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen you'll see an area that you can send questions or ideas during our discussion. We'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible, so please join us with your thoughts and insights along the way. At the conclusion of our program, we're going to open up the line so we can talk directly with our guest. So please write down two or three questions, either during the program, submit them through the chat box, or hold them until we open the line up at the end. I'm very excited to introduce our special guest with us today, Rick Itzkowitz. Did I pronounce that right, Rick?
Close enough.
Pretty close, right? A.K.A. Rick I, the LinkedIn guy. Rick is a Visage chair and founder of 501 Connection, Inc., a San Diego-based business who does networking and referral coaching for coaching companies. Rick is a genuine people connector. He helps people bridge the two worlds of face-to-face and online networking. As an official member of the prestigious Forbes Coaches Council and successful entrepreneur, Rick coaches, writes, and creates turnkey products that meet today's demand for tools to increase profits through referrals. His products are Quote Action, Link Power Now, and Rocket. Referrals have generated millions of dollars in revenue for businesses worldwide through Rick's assistant. He resides in La Jolla, California. I feel privileged to have Rick with us today to share ideas that will help each of us in preparing for the future and for dealing with today's business issues. Also, registration for our next program will begin at the end of this program, and the topic is fine-tuning manufacturing flow. Rick, one more thing before we start our program officially. You have a new book that's going to be coming out. You want to share about that?
Sure. I finally, after all these years, I finally put together all my thoughts into something that is relatively cohesive in the form of a book. I've resisted writing this forever, but it's supposed to be coming up any day now, but like any day takes forever. But hopefully it will be out within the next month or so. The Referral Playbook. In all my years of networking, coaching people, teams, etc., what I found is while there's many organizations that provide networking opportunity, there is hardly any plan or any playbook that people who are going to embark in networking can do. And that applies to both LinkedIn on the online world as well as the face-to-face world. So what this is an attempt. I once said, if I were to clone myself and have to teach somebody how to do some of the things that I would, what would I have them do? And that's what goes into the book. Everything that I've done successfully over the past 20 years has now been distilled into some easily digestible content that will allow people to embrace both the online, in particular LinkedIn as of today, but the face-to-face networking worlds as well.
Oh, that's great. That's exciting. And you see Rick's contact information on your screen, so you can probably pen it for a month and go onto Rick's site and order the book. So, Rick, take it away. It's your program.
Sounds good. Thank you, Dana.
You're welcome.
All right, so LinkedIn. That's when I used to do a lot of speaking on LinkedIn. I hardly do that nowadays because I have too many other activities. But one of the questions that people would always ask me was, what about this LinkedIn? What can you do with it? I've been a member there. I've signed up, but I don't get it. Okay, and so hopefully what I'll be able to do in this period of time is share with you the power behind LinkedIn, what it can and what it can't do for you, and how can you and or the people that work for you, if you don't happen to do a lot of networking, but if you do have a sales team that relies on networking, can take advantage of this powerful platform. All right, so I'm going to talk about the power of LinkedIn more from a strategic standpoint than a tactical standpoint, and help you understand what's feasible with it. Okay, so first of all, if you were to ask any salesperson, okay, how they grow their business, and you were to give them a choice between making cold calls, doing some knocking on doors, and or personal introductions, I can tell you for a fact that almost 100% of the people that you ask this will raise their hands saying that they would prefer a personal introduction. And why is that? Is because it's a lot warmer. It's a lot easier to actually start a conversation with a stranger if you've been introduced by someone that already has some kind of a connection. So if, in a nutshell, what LinkedIn is the shortest route from the people that you know or people you're connected to the people that you want to meet. So for example, I'm connected to Dana. I have a relationship with Dana. However, I almost would bet that those of you who are listening to this, you and I probably don't have any connection whatsoever. But if you have a connection to Dana, if you have any relationship to Dana, and Dana were to introduce me to you, you're much more likely to take a phone call from me or an email from me than if I just went directly to you. And what's interesting about LinkedIn is that LinkedIn makes it relatively easy to find out those connections, and that's why it is so powerful. So in the 21st century, which, believe it or not, we are in today, all right, people think that face-to-face networking is going to disappear. It's going to be replaced by online networking, and I wholeheartedly disagree. Yes, we are relying more and more on online digital tools. All of us have at our fingertips every information, our phones, etc. Millennials, they live and die by their phones, and they do everything online, but guess what? Face-to-face is still necessary today, and it's not going to disappear. At least it's not going to disappear. I can confidently say this in either my lifetime or yours. Human beings have a need to have face-to-face interactions. Yes, we're having this conversation today, or so far it's a monologue, really, but hopefully it'll be a conversation through some of your questions, thanks to technology. But at the end of the day, the human touch, the human interaction is still very powerful and the preferred way to build trust. However, you do need to have an online digital component to your networking activities and to your businesses. If not, you're going to become obsolete. So when you combine face-to-face networking with online networking, you get networking on steroids. This is not an either-or. Okay, it is really a both-and. So LinkedIn really is no different than if you were to attend Chamber of Commerce events or if you go to trade shows, etc. But it just makes it faster to find out who are all the people that we know. And I'll talk more about that in a second. But I'll share with you a recent example of the power of networking. And in April of this year, I was in Dusseldorf, Germany, for the biggest trade show for machinery, for the steel business, as Dana mentioned to you. I'm overseeing two plants in Mexico, and we were there looking to expand and to buy some machinery. And it was my first time going to that event. It was a huge event. But the people that I went with, which were both my general managers and my CFO, they had been there before. They had relationships. And I met quite a few people. But one of the gentlemen that I met there was the head of another company. We connected. I went ahead and I sent him an invitation to connect on LinkedIn. And then we connected. And in talking to my daughter, who happens to be living in New York, and this guy also lives in New York, we were having a conversation about a potential employer that she was looking for. Long story short, turns out that when I did a search on LinkedIn for the company and the principal, it turns out that this gentleman that I had met in Dusseldorf not only was connected to this person, but he was her husband. So, and I found this out thanks to LinkedIn, and I was able to ask if he would be willing to facilitate an introduction for my daughter. To make a long story short, my daughter and his wife are meeting. My daughter is a graphic designer, and his wife owns a graphic design business, and they're meeting later on this week, all thanks to both networking in person and LinkedIn. So the power of this is just phenomenal when you know what to do and when you can embrace it. So it's not an either or, it's a both and. So why LinkedIn? LinkedIn is really the de facto, it's like Google is to search, LinkedIn is to business networking. Yes, there's other platforms that you can do, other search engines. There's Yahoo, I'm assuming there's maybe, you know, Bing, some of the other ones, but 80% of the searches are done on Google. It's the same thing with LinkedIn. Yes, there are other LinkedIn, and there's other business platforms, there's other networking platforms, but the number one de facto standard is LinkedIn. I'm not saying it's going to stay there forever, but as of today and for the last, you know, 10, 12 years, it has been. Okay, so there are many, many, many users on LinkedIn. And today, if you are in the business world and you don't have a LinkedIn presence, people are going to assume that you either are not current, you have something to hide, or you don't care. And none of those things are good when you're trying to make a first impression. Okay, so you definitely need to be part of this platform. Secondly, if you're in business development, I mean, the people on LinkedIn, on average, okay, have a very high net worth and or make money. So the average adjusted household income, when I got these statistics, we're already are 2-3 years old, was about $110,000. That's a lot of money. So it's an affluent demographic. And the best part of it is 45% of them are decision makers. So what do you have when you have that? You have people who have money and make decisions. And if you're in business development, okay, and or in sales, that is a dream. Because the last thing you want to be doing if you're in sales or business development is to talk to people who have no money to make a purchase and or have no decision or authority or influence the people who make the purchases. And LinkedIn provides you with that. So it's a very powerful demographic that's available. All right, let me go on to what's next. Okay, so I'm assuming that all of you on the call are already either on LinkedIn or you have some kind of an interest on LinkedIn because that's what this was built on and that's why you're here. So there are three critical success factors that you must have if you're going to have any chance of succeeding in getting some benefit out of being on LinkedIn. They are your profile, your network, and your activities. Your profile is your gateway. Think of your a website for your business. Nowadays, if you have a business and it does not have a website, you're probably not going to go very far. They're not going to take you very seriously. Okay, so you need to have a website. And if you have a bad website, if you have a website that is not professional, it's just going to reflect very poorly on you because people are going to assume some things that may not have anything to do with the way you run your business, how good of a business person you are, but the first impression that people will have is just not going to be good. It's the same thing with your profile. So an effective profile on LinkedIn is a must. In my opinion, you are worse off having a crappy profile than you would be having no profile at all. And having no profile is a bad thing, but having a bad profile is worse. What do I mean by a bad profile? Well, there's several different things, but in particular, there are profiles with people who have, for instance, no picture of themselves. Okay, what I tell people who do some kind of networking is having a LinkedIn profile with no picture is the equivalent of going to a networking event, a live networking event with a paper bag over your head. It's like, why would you do that?
I love that analogy.
So first things, if you do nothing else, if you have a LinkedIn profile without a picture, go have someone. Everybody has cell phones now. They all have cameras. You can have, you don't need a professional picture, though it's helpful if you did, and I'll explain why in a moment. But get it against a plain background and have somebody take a picture of you and put it on your LinkedIn profile. Okay? There's other things that, you know, that go into having an effective profile, but more than anything, your profile, people say, well, you know, I don't need a job. Why do I need that? It's not your resume. Your LinkedIn profile is the equivalent of your sales page. And what you're selling is you're selling you as the product. Okay? So have an effective profile, and I can walk you through with, you know, what consists, you know, an effective profile. You need to have an effective summary. Okay? You also need to have recommendations, which is the equivalent of testimonials, and that will add credibility. But I don't have time to go into all the nuts and bolts of what goes on into an effective profile, but suffice to say that that accounts, in my opinion, for about 40 to 45% of your success on LinkedIn. Not quite half, but almost. The next piece that's really critical is your network. If you don't have any connections on LinkedIn, then you can have the best profile in the world. It's not going to do you any good. Okay, because the whole purpose of LinkedIn is to connect, and you have to start connecting to be able to connect other people and also to get introductions to people. So both the quality and the quantity of your network is not an either or. It's not should you just have quality over quantity or should you have quantity over quality. You need both. Because the quality of the network will allow you to both make and get introductions, but the quantity will expand. So think about both going wide and deep. So if you have a root system, okay, you need it to go deep so that the wind doesn't blow you, but you also need it to go wide, okay, so you can access more territory. So you need both quantity and quality. And and I would say your network is anywhere between 40 to 50% of your success factor on LinkedIn. So between those two, you have 85 to 90% success, and the rest of it, the icing on the cake or the cherry on top of the sundae, are your activities. What specifically do you do once you are connected to these people and once you have an effective LinkedIn profile? And I will cover some of those things. All right. Next item is when. Let's go, Rick, I don't have any time. I mean, as it is, I'm already working way too many hours. You know, I'm spending too much time. This is, you know, I can't have any more time devoted to this. How much time do I need to do this? And believe it or not, is a lot less than you think. And I recommend when I've worked with people that you, if you're willing to put in 10 to 15 minutes a day for 2 or 3 days a week, you can be successful on LinkedIn. Now, I don't care how busy you are. You can carve 10, 15 minutes 2 or 3 times a week, right? Especially when it's something that is going to yield potentially a lot of results. Okay, so the 10 to 15 minutes per week is sufficient if you do the right things and you do them consistently on LinkedIn. In fact, there was a pilot program that was done with Merrill Lynch several years ago where a group of 35 investment advisors spent an average of 7 minutes per day over, I believe it was, 3 or 4 month period. And the collective results of that pilot program was they brought something like $134 million in assets under management as a result of those activities.
Wow.
And this is a group of investment advisors that are highly regulated by FINRA, which means they can't avail themselves of some of the tools that you and me, who are not a financial advisor, can. Specifically, you can't do anything in the area of getting testimonials or getting any kind of credibility. So point being is they were handicapped. They had certain restrictions not only from FINRA but also from their broker-dealers regarding what they could or couldn't do, what they could or couldn't post, and they were still able to be very, very successful. Now, Dana mentioned to you that among other things that I do is I run a Vistage group. For those of you who may not be familiar with Vistage, Vistage is probably the premier organization working with CEOs, a worldwide organization. And I have a mastermind group of 18 CEOs. And when I became a Vistage chair, my first task was to build my group. I had to find the CEOs and recruit them to be part of my group. Interestingly enough, when I was going through the selection process to be selected as a chair, which, by the way, it's a pretty rigorous process to get there, they were interviewing me, and they were asking me a lot of questions about cold calls, and I wonder what's with this cold call thing. But anyway, I said, fine, you know, I've made cold calls in the past. I don't like doing them, but I've made them, etc. So when I was going through the final selection and I got approved, then the first thing that we had to do was we had to submit a business plan regarding how we were going to fill our group. And the person that was working with me said, okay, Rick, be sure that you only put things that you intend to make. I don't want just something that you're going to put just for the sake of putting it. Just go, great. I sent my business plan, and then I got on my next call with my advisor. It says, Rick, got your plan. Everything looks good, except you don't have any cold calls. And I said, well, you only sit to put things that I intend to do, and I don't intend to make any cold calls. He says, well, if you don't, you're not going to launch. Now, mind you, my claim when I train people how to use LinkedIn is that once you learn how to use LinkedIn successfully, you'll never have to make a cold call ever again. So I go, okay, here's an opportunity to really prove whether this is true or not firsthand. So I said, okay, I put in, I will make X number of cold calls. I didn't intend to make it, but just to satisfy them, I put that. So I had an event that I was working towards. It was mini event where I would invite people to come in so they can have an experience of what being part of a Vistage group would be like, and off of that, probably decide that they would want to be part of this. And the goal was to have 20 people at this breakfast launch. It was the week before Thanksgiving, remember 2013, and this was in August, so I had like 12 weeks prior to the event, and we did a backwards calendar where I needed to have, you know, and they said, you know, based on our numbers, in order to have 20 people at the event, you need to have somewhere between 40 and people who have RSVP'd, because at least half of them are not going to show up. So I had like 12 weeks to go, and I figure I have like between 3 and 4 people every week who are RSVP'd. So I went ahead and I started doing that, and sure enough, I was getting, you know, my, you know, 3 to 4 people, and my coach was very happy. He says, well, how are you doing it? And I told him, it's all through networking and through LinkedIn. He says, well, good, but don't you think you ought to start, you're going to run out of that, and you want to start making your cold calls. Anyway, this went on for about 4 or 5 weeks, and finally she gave up and said, I guess whatever you're doing is working. Don't worry about the cold calls. So I put 24 referrals using my methodology that I developed while I was doing this. In fact, I thought I was going to go use LinkedIn very differently than I ended up using it. In one day, in a span of 2 hours, with 4 people that I talked to on the phone using my Rocket referral system, I ended up getting 24 referrals by using LinkedIn and this methodology. In fact, the actual numbers, I remember them very well. I ended up talking to 42 people using this Rocket referral system and received 168 introductions to CEOs, of which I ended up talking to 68 of them, and of those, 24 ended up RSVPing to my event.
Rick, a question just came in. I think it's a perfect question for now. Question is, 95% of LinkedIn requests are from unknowns.
Yep.
So should one accept each person that sends a request, or do you do research before accepting, or is there anything else?
Truth is it's up to the individual what they want to do. But my response to this has several layers. The first layer is, what is your purpose for being on LinkedIn? Okay, so that should determine how broad do you want to be in your criteria for accepting people to connect with you or not. If you're there for the purpose of business development, for example, I would encourage you to be as broad as possible, because the broader you are, the more opportunities you have. And I can tell you a couple of stories, especially if we have time, regarding the benefits of doing that. The other piece of this is, there's not one answer fit all, but my typical response when somebody asks me that question is this, and I'll ask the person who asked the question, or anybody else who probably has this question, is this: when you go to a networking event, in fact, Dana, let me ask this question of you, okay, instead of just making it hypothetical.
Sure.
When you go to a networking event, do you talk to strangers?
I research before I go.
Okay, fine. Do you talk to strangers?
No, I talk to, yes.
And if you meet somebody there that you haven't researched, do you talk to them?
Yes.
Why?
See what their background is and if there's any connectivity there.
There you go. So I see a LinkedIn request for connection no different than I see a chat with a stranger that I just met.
Mm.
Now, that's personal. I'm not saying you should see it that way. So I see it that way. Now, the concern that people have is, okay, well, I connect with these strangers. What good does it do me, number one? Two, what if they start poaching or they start wanting to reach out my connections? Three, what if they start asking me for stuff? So what I respond to people is, you are in total control of the connections and the activities with the connections that you have. So if you're connecting with somebody, they cannot reach out to your connections unless they go through you or they're connected to them directly. They can view your connections, yes, but truthfully is, there are ways around being connected with you where people can still view your connections. So there's very little downside being connected with people that you don't know. There's potentially some upside. That being said, it's a personal preference. When I first started on LinkedIn, my criteria was so narrow, I would only connect with people that I would personally vouch for 100%. I was connected to about 6 or 7 people. And then I realized this is not helping me. Then I went to the other extreme and I started connecting with everybody. And I ended up connecting with a whole bunch of people that ended up being a waste of time. So now I'm somewhere in between. But I will tell you that I probably accept connections. I only send connection requests to people that I really want to be connected to. But as far as accepting connection requests, I would say I accept about 80% of the requests that people send to me.
That's good insight.
Okay, but I'm not saying that's the right or the wrong way to do it. You can do it, but just know that if you connect with somebody, you can easily disconnect with them. And there's also ways of making, you know, putting restrictions into your connections. So most of the fears and the concerns that people have are not valid regarding what goes on. And there's ways around it for somebody who wants to use it for, in quotes, nefarious purposes. There's ways around that that they can do it even without you accepting their request. Okay, let me go to the next slide. All right, so why would you want to be on LinkedIn? My soon-to-be 90-year-old aunt asked me several years ago, hey, Rick, should I be on LinkedIn? And I chuckled. All right, so I said, aunt, let me ask you a couple of questions before answering yours. One, do you want to find any business people? She goes, no. Two, do you want any business people to find you? She goes, no. She says, there's no reason for you to be on LinkedIn. But if you do want to find other business people, other professionals, and or you want to be found by other business people and professionals, you absolutely should be on LinkedIn. So what can you find? You can find individuals. You can find power partners, meaning these are people that you can go after some of the same customers, but for different products or services. An example is this. I was talking to somebody who whose target audience was brides. Okay, and they sold diamonds, so their primary target was brides. Brides and grooms. I go, you're not going to find them on LinkedIn because nobody goes on LinkedIn and identifies themselves as a bride or a groom. So LinkedIn is not going to help me. It says, that's not true. What I would recommend is that you identify who are some of the other people that do business with brides and grooms and then partner up with them. And because they know, for example, florists, caterers, wedding planners, those people can introduce you to many more brides that you're going to meet on your own, and it can be a mutually beneficial relationship. So that's what I mean by a power partner. You can also find companies, if you do B2B, to get into. Find out who are the people in the company that you want to get introductions to. If you want to find a job, it's a lot easier to actually go and ask for an introduction inside of a company of a particular individual than just say, hey, do you know anybody in that individual? Okay. The other thing is identifying the connection points. See, Dana, you and I have a relationship even though we've never met in person. All right, and however, I have no idea who all the people that you know and vice versa. It's been said that we, all of us, know, let's say, 150 people. But I have no idea who are all the people that you know and vice versa, and I'll tell you a story connected to this. That was, again, years ago, my ex-wife, you know, and I were still married. And we were out with two other couples, and we were chatting. And at the time, these two gentlemen were very connected here in San Diego. So I asked him, hey, by any chance, do you know such and such a person? And they go, Rick, sorry, no, doesn't ring a bell. And my ex-wife looked at me and said, did you just say, you know, say such and such? I go, yeah, why? She says, because I know him. And I go, wow. How do you know them? You know, might have contributed to that being an ex-husband, you know.
But
anyway, she goes, well, because she wasn't working. She wasn't in the business world. And I never expected that she would know them. And says, well, because one of my girlfriends is dating him.
Huh.
And I go, well, if you know him, why didn't you tell me? She says, because you never asked.
Oh, that's funny.
And why didn't I ask? Because it never occurred to me. But then I got to thinking, how do I know who she knows? And let alone, how do I know who all the people that she knows know? And that's when the power of LinkedIn really dawned on me. LinkedIn makes it very easy, okay, to find out who are the people that you know. If I'm connected to you, Dana, I can actually go do a search and find you and find who are some of the people that you're connected to that I may want to have an introduction from you and vice versa. Now, it's still up to me to have a relationship with you and the nature of the ask for you to pass it along or not, but I'm one step closer than I would have been without even knowing.
That's right. And, Rick, another question came in. What should I do, if anything, after I accept an invitation to connect from a person I know or don't know?
Perfect. LinkedIn is about relationships. How do you build relationships? One conversation at a time. So if you recall my earlier perspective on a LinkedIn connection, invitation to connect, it's kind of like the beginning of a conversation. Okay? If someone invited me to connect, they started the conversation with me. Now, if it's going to be a conversation, if I accept and I do nothing, it became a monologue. So I always send a message back to someone after they've connected with me, either because I invited them or because they invited me. And in fact, I'd be happy to do this with anybody on the call. Just send me an invitation to connect on LinkedIn and say that that you were at the Lighthouse webinar, and you will get my message that every connection that I have on LinkedIn gets. It's a pretty elaborate message. It's personalized. It's an elaborate message. And in the message, I always thank the person for either accepting or inviting me to connect. I position myself as someone who likes to help people out and to contribute to people. And I offer people a gift. All right? And that's all I'll say. Just have people send me an invitation to connect, and they will see the exact message that I send to people so they can actually see that. But think about what the connection is the beginning of a conversation. Now, I have over 10,000 connections on LinkedIn, and I get probably anywhere from 30 to 50 connections per week. I'm not having conversations with all of these people, but I do have at least one message that goes out, and then depending on what happens afterwards, I will either continue the conversation or not. It's like sitting on a plane next to someone. You start a conversation, and at some point you go back to read if you want to, or you go back to sleep. It's the same thing. So hopefully, that's...
Rick, in your new book, will you have this information?
Yes. So my new book is definitely about the tactics that you can use to build relationships, to gain trust and credibility, and actually have an actual tactical plan to execute to generate referrals. So, yes.
I'd like everyone to write down this website. So this is Rick's website. It's www.thereferralplaybook.com. That's thereferralplaybook.com, and that's where you can reserve a copy of the new book coming up. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. Okay. And that's a website specifically for the book. If you forget or you mistype it, my own website, I have a link there, which is my name, rickitzkowicz.com.
And they can see that on the screen.
Okay, perfect. Good. Okay, so using LinkedIn strategically, you need three elements. Number one, you need to have the right mindset. And the mindset is about helping people out, is not about selling. LinkedIn is not a sales platform, is not a marketing platform, is a relationship platform. Okay? You have to be collaborative. It's about helping people out. And what I tell people to do is if you become a connector in your job and you're looking, nowadays, for example, for the last few years, when I go to networking events, I'm just looking for resources I can introduce to my CEOs. I'm not looking for anything that I can gain for me from a business perspective directly, but I'm looking for people that I can introduce to others. And when I do that, I'm generating a lot of goodwill. And that's one of the currencies you need to accumulate on LinkedIn is goodwill. So you need to have the proper mindset. It's all about hunting. It's all about attracting versus hunting. Okay, think farming much more than you think hunting. It's not about, okay, who can I, you know, bag? Who can I sell to? There are ways to actually generate business on LinkedIn, but it's more getting through the side door as opposed to the front door. And then the VCP acronym is an acronym that I learned many years ago through a networking organization called BNI, the Referral Institute, and it starts for visibility, credibility, profitability. Meaning people need to know who you are, people need to trust you, and then and only then they will want to do business with you. So you need to have strategies, and you need to go, you know, first of all, build your visibility so that people know who you are. Then build your credibility so that people trust you on two dimensions. One, that you know what you're talking about, that you that in your industry they're safe either doing business with you or referring business to you, but also that you are a person they can trust at the individual level. All right? And that takes time. That takes time to be able to gain that credibility, and then and only then they are likely to engage in business with you. One of the problems is that people try to jump that process and go from I, which comes before V, which is invisibility, to profitability in one step. And you see this all the time when you go to networking events. You'll meet the people that I call the Las Vegas dealers. These are the people that go to an event with a stack of cards in their hands, and they go around and they hand their cards to everybody. And says, well, if you need somebody that does it, and they're not really networking, they're just, you know, cold calling in person. Okay, so you have to understand, and it's the same thing on LinkedIn. Sometimes people send you an invitation to connect, the next thing they do is they're trying to sell you something. By the way, whenever that happens, I immediately disconnect with people. They don't get it. They don't have the right approach. So anyway, those are some of the things that you need to have strategically if you're going to succeed on LinkedIn. I talked about the currencies. You need to build trust, gain credibility, and generate goodwill. Okay. Here's another example that I give people. Okay. Let's say that you went to Disneyland. Okay. And then a stranger approached you and says, excuse me, can you help me? You say, well, what do you need? What can I do for you? He says, would you mind taking a picture of me and my daughter in front of Mickey Mouse? You probably would say, sure, no problem. Okay, that's an appropriate request for the level of relationship and trust that you have. Okay, but imagine if that same person, instead of asking you for that, I ask you, excuse me, can you help me out? He says, yeah, you know, I don't have any money and I need $500 to get back home. You probably would run away from that person as fast as possible because the level of request and the level of trust and connection that you have does not warrant it. Okay, so you need to have that. You need to build credibility. You need to build trust, and you need to generate goodwill. The goodwill is the principle of reciprocity. People are much more likely to help us out if we help them out first. That's why when you actually connect people, when you help people out, when you refer business to them, oftentimes they're very likely, if not on a direct basis, at least on the aggregate, if you position yourself doing that, that you will get more referrals than you'll need. There's a gentleman that has referred a ton of business to me over the years, and unfortunately, I have been unable to do the same thing for him. He actually runs a very high-end recruiting firm, and he's looking for people who are very high-end to be able to place and retain. I don't know that many people. However, over the years, I've gone out of my way to try to reciprocate and make myself available to help him out and some of his customers with questions that they have because of that spirit of reciprocity. So that's what you will do if you start positioning. And think of it, networking is like owning a bank account or a checking account. Before you can write a check, assuming that anybody writes checks nowadays, or before you can Venmo somebody, you need to have money into your account. Okay, and that's making those deposits. And that's what generating goodwill refers to, generating deposits before you can actually start getting withdrawals, which is what happens when you make a request for an introduction. You need to build your goodwill. So some do's and don'ts: start conversations and avoid monologues. I covered that a little bit. build relationships and avoid premature solicitation. That is where you go into, you actually start asking for something from them, business, etc., that does not yet warrant the level of relationship. With some of the people that I've consulted with, I talk about how when you connect with people, you give, you know, 4 or 5 times before you ask for anything, okay, because you're much more likely to get a positive response when you do that instead of immediately just trying to ask for something, especially with someone that you don't know. All right, let's see. So in summary,
another question came in. What's your perspective on people on LinkedIn who send a request, a cold call in a sense, to ask you to introduce them to someone in your company that does XYZ, when the person who does XYZ is on LinkedIn? Do you make the introduction or expect them to do their own research?
Once again, I think that's a personal choice, and it all depends on the request. Going back to my example of somebody stopping you in Disneyland, what are they asking me to do? Okay, I'll give you another example that directly relates to this. Years ago, I got a request for an introduction to the founder and CEO of BNI, Dr. Ivan Meisner, whom I know personally, and I have a good enough relationship with that if I call, I will get an appointment and he will talk to me. So somebody wanted an introduction to them, okay, because they were writing a book and they wanted to have him see if they would endorse the book. You know, I looked at that. I go, I don't know the person asking me. You know, they don't, you know, I said, I'm not willing to do that. What's in it for, you know, Dr. Meisner? You know, why am I going to bother him? Why am I going to do that for something that I don't see any potential benefits for him? However, I got another response also looking for an introduction to this person where they said, listen, I know you're connected to Dr. Meisner. I know he is an avid, you know, magician. My husband and I are amateur magicians. We're performing at the Magic Castle in L.A. We would like to see if he would like to attend. Now, I happen to know that that's true, that he is an amateur magician. He likes that. And I said, on the basis of that, I will pass on the introduction. You understand what I'm saying?
Right,
so you're under no obligation whatsoever with any of your connections to do anything on LinkedIn that you don't feel comfortable doing.
That's well put. Thank you.
So that's the way that I see it. But I have some time, and what I ask people when they ask me for introductions, and I go, what's it for? I always look, what's in it for the other person? Will it be beneficial? If I don't know, sometimes I'll just pass them along and say, listen, Dana, and I've done it with someone, obviously with 10,000 plus people that I have connections on LinkedIn. I don't know everybody. Some of the people, it goes no more than, you know, we've connected and that's it. But actually, what has happened, I guess I'll tell you another instance where something like this happened, and it proved some of the principles that I talked about today. So we're talking back quite a few years ago now. One of my LinkedIn connections, who I hadn't met personally, but we did have a relationship, had spoken on the phone, and we had a relationship on LinkedIn, sent out a message saying that her son was traveling through India. They had gotten into an accident. They were in a hospital, and they would wonder if anybody knew someone close to that city. Okay, so I sent a message to my LinkedIn network of people that lived in India, because you can actually slice and dice the data to find out, you know, who were the people. Back then, it was a lot easier to send messages to a lot of people in a region than it is today. But I was able to send that, and sure enough, one of the people that I was connected to, again, a total stranger, never interacted much more than just initial connection, say, Rick, as a matter of fact, I live about 45 minutes away from this place, you know, how can I help? All right, and so I ended up connecting the two of them, and he ended up helping, you know, the person whose son was in the accident. which was really cool. I mean, what did I get out of this? Goodwill and a good feeling. But the story doesn't end there, okay? As a result of this happening, I ended up thanking this person. We ended up now having a relationship, conversations, et cetera. And then, like 2 years later, I mentioned to this person that I was going to India because I was doing a speaking tour in India. I said, I'm going to be in these three cities. I don't know how far you are from any of them, but if you happen to be nearby, I'd love to meet you. And says, Rick, as a matter of fact, I'm about an hour away from one. I'll be happy to go meet you. Anyway, to make a long story short, not only did we end up meeting, after he found out what I was doing, he says, well, would you be interested in speaking at these other venues? I said, yes. He ended up arranging two other places for me to speak, and I ended up netting about $30,000 to $40,000 as a result of that.
Wow.
All because I was connected to two strangers that ended up turning into something. And I had no idea that it was going to go, and that wasn't the reason I was doing it. But the point being is you can see the power behind this. And some of the connections and some of the goodwill and some of the things that you're doing are not necessarily about business, even though it's a business platform. Because at the end of the day, we're all people. Anyway, I think we're getting near the end. So if there's other questions.
Do you want to do a quick recap or?
Sure. Just yeah, in summary, why you should be on LinkedIn is LinkedIn has great demographics. You don't know who all the people that you know. If you're willing to invest 10 to 15 minutes a day for 2 or 3 days a week, you'll get some results out of LinkedIn. And it's all about finding people and being found. And just it's about attracting people to you, farming, building relationships much more than it is hunting. If you have that mindset and you do some of the things that I talked about, you're probably going to get more results on LinkedIn than if you don't.
Do you want to talk about your mentoring program for a moment before we open the lineup?
Yeah, I have a mentoring program. It's a digital program that I put together where I walk people step by step through the various areas. I talked about, you know, what do you need to have in your effective profile, all the critical success factors about how to build your network, the activities that you need to do. And you get videos of me showing you, talking about this, and you also have access to me anytime you have questions, either via email or call. It's a monthly fee that you that you pay, and that's it.
What does that run about?
It's $39 a month.
That's it?
Yep.
Okay. So you guys have the contact information if you want
to. Yep. So you can just reach out to me if you have any interest, and I can give you more specifics.
Well, I want to thank you very much for being in the program. We're going to open up the line in just 1 second, but I'm going to make a request before we close this part of the program down. We're going to open up the line so people can talk directly with Rick if you have questions, but it's very important you follow this direction or directions. Please put your phone on mute. Do not put it on hold because the rest of us will hear music, which we don't need to hear, and it will actually ruin it for everybody else. So please do not put your phone on hold. Just put it on mute and unmute your phone if you have a question for Rick. We have quite a number of people on this for this topic today. So let's see if we can make this work. First, I want to thank Rick for being a part of Open Line and sharing this valuable information today. It was very, very cool. And for those of you that attend Open Line on a regular basis, thank you so much, and look forward to having you attend next month's program as we close out the year. So let me turn off the recording feature, and we'll be right back.